Podcast.ph can be downloaded for free on iTunes by typing podcast.ph programs. You can also listen on Podomatic, Spreaker, Stitcher, Clamor, YouTube, and our official URL, podcast.ph. Like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google+. Podcast.ph, the most active and fastest growing podcast network in the Philippines.
Money, wealth, assets, opportunities even, that you may lose.
You must ask yourself if you love the people, because the only thing that can bind you to the people you serve is love. Ambition is not enough.
I have discovered the power of kindness, and that has made me a radical optimist. That's why I stay away from politics and from religion.
Countries that take unilateral action or coercive action.
Actually, like Pinoy personally.
It's not a beauty contest who's ahead of who, yeah.
Yes, we've been all irrelevant before, and I think we'll all be irrelevant again.
Martin's Man Cave on podcast.ph.
Welcome to the 78th episode of Martin's Man Cave here on podcast.ph. My name is Martin Andanar. Our guest today is the Dean of the Far Eastern University School of Law. He's also been teaching at the Ateneo de Manila School of Law since 1986. As a broadcaster, Dean Santa Maria was awarded the Kapisanan ng Broadcaster ng Pilipinas o KBP Best Public Service Host for Radio and its 23rd KBP Golden Dove Awards for 2015. He is the resident legal analyst of TV5. He also co-hosts the show Relacion with Luchi Cruz Valdez, Monday to Friday, 12 noon to 2 p.m. over Radyo 5 and Action TV. Dean Mel Santamaria writes for Interaction.com, and he has written several books already, mostly a compilation of his written work over Interaction.com and News 5. Dean Santamaria also has written three law textbooks, Persons and Family Relation Law, Court Procedures in Family Law Cases, and Obligation and Contracts, Text and Cases. And of course, I mentioned earlier, Read My Mind and What is the Point? Without further ado, please welcome the famous attorney Mel Santamaria. Thank you so much, sir, for allowing me to document your life here on podcast.ph.
It's my pleasure to be here, Martin.
Firstly, tell us when you were born, where, and your parents.
Well, I was born in, of course, Manila, on February 23, 1957. I grew up in San Juan, Metro Manila, then known as San Juan Rizal.
Uh-huh.
So the mayor I've learned to know is Mayor Erap Estrada. So that's my first salvo in politics, because he used to go around San Juan and we used to see him. And then I studied at Aquinas School, high school, and took up my college at the Ateneo.
Mm-hmm.
I took up Bachelor of Science in Biology.
Biology.
Well, I thought I was to become a doctor, but at the late, when I was about to take my entrance exam for medicine, I said to myself, no, it's not for me, so I shifted to law.
Mm-hmm.
I took up law at the Ateneo de Manila, and then graduated in 1982, and then my master's degree at the Morin Center for Banking Law Studies at Boston University, in Boston, Massachusetts, and I graduated in 1987. I started practicing law, and at the same time, I started teaching law at Ateneo.
Uh-huh.
And along the way, I taught at Pamantasan ng Lungsod ng Manila, and then also at San Sebastian, but only for brief periods.
Uh-huh.
Until in November of 2013, I was asked to be the dean of the Far Eastern University Institute of law. Then, of course, there is broadcasting. In 2010, I was asked by Luchi Cruz Valdez to be the resource legal analyst for the national coverage in TV5 of the national elections. Mm-hmm. And from there, I went to a Relacion. And along the way, I had some other programs like Solve Na Solve. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And now, a Politics for Beginners. Uh-huh. And I guested in so many shows at TV5. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm here. So what I do now, and I write at interaction.com uh-huh. mm-hmm. for my commentaries, mostly in politics mm-hmm. and current events. Mm-hmm. I teach at the Ateneo. I administer a law school at Far Eastern University.
That's a lot of work for
and
you.
And I uh-huh. broadcast mm-hmm. at Action TV and TV5.
Tell us how it was growing up in San Juan. And tell us about elementary and high school.
San Juan is a small community. You almost know your neighbors from 1 kilometer down and up, and so and we know. And as I've said, I grew there with my three brothers and one sister. My father is Dr. Melencio Santa Maria, and my mother is Florencia Santa Maria. And I had, and growing up was simple. We had a very simple lifestyle, simple living. My father used to go abroad. He was a doctor at the United Nations, so more often than not, he was abroad. He either went home or we go to his place of assignment. Mm-hmm. And my mother was a normal housewife. And so you could just imagine that normal lifestyle where we go to school, come home, play, do our assignment, do our thing in as children, and then play basketball. That was my favorite sport. Play chess. That was also my favorite sport. Uh-huh. And then just doing the normal boyhood life. And you know, when I was even young, I didn't have any notion of what is the best school, what's the good school, what's the most prominent school. I just went to school. Uh-huh. And wherever it is, I go. Uh-huh. So there you are. When I was in... So that was life in San Juan.
So elementary was in...
In Aquinas School.
Aquinas, yes.
Yes, uh-huh. It was administered by the Dominican Fathers. So going to college, mm-hmm. I passed UP... And at the Ateneo, but I was a scholar of the United Nations mm-hmm. because my father was a doctor employee of the United Nations. Mm-hmm. So as my sister told me, you know, if we are going to use the money of the United Nations, might as well go to the Ateneo, not UP, so that we could maximize the benefit. So that was a reason why I went to Ateneo. Uh-huh. But it was good. Ateneo was a life changer in a way because it taught me a lot of things.
Aquinas Elementary and High School. Who were your classmates then that you still see now?
Well, we were close, but right now we are all spread out. No? Mm-hmm. But I used to see, for example, today, a doctor, Dr. Johnny Tan. He's my chiropractor. I go to get my body in shape, you know, my bones aligned. Uh-huh. So I go to him every now and then. My insurance agent is my classmate. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, former classmates have been my, in a way, professional and partners in some transactions. And also my doctor. And also in terms of media, I have classmates in media who also advised me a little bit on the goings on in media. So, uh-huh. so it's okay. We every now and then meet, and I'd say who became very prominent in our batch at Aquinas School. I cannot remember except one who ventured in the movies but did not go far. He's now in the United States. Is Marlon Ramirez. So, and we're just simple high school students having normal high school lives, loving to go with young high school girls, trying to date them. Just normal.
When you look back from where you are right now, and you look back to your high school years, did you ever imagine that you'd get this far?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, I did not even imagine being broadcasting about 10 years ago. It was really out of sight, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
But, life is always building or creating crossroads for yourself.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So you have crossroads, you give opportunities for you to choose.
Uh-huh.
So that's what that was my guiding principle. So when I went to college and finished college, so that was my first crossroad. Is it law or is it medicine? So just have to decide. I opted for law. And you know, but up to now I would say, what if I studied medicine? What if I studied medicine and then law? Things like that. But you know, the journey is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a right decision, no regrets, because I love being a lawyer. And then after getting into law, then you take master's degree. Then you decide which field in master of law. Is it corporate? Is it litigation? Is it banking? So the only thing that led me to banking is that I don't know anything about banking. Mm. So I thought to myself, if I'll study corporation law is just the same as here and in the United States. So might as well go into banking, because during 1982, the wave was investment banking, the wave of the future, universal banking and investment banking. So I went there. So it was another crossroad. I chose that field. And then when I was teaching in 1988, there was this law that came out. It was called the Family Code. So the dean of the Ateneo told me, I was teaching then public international law, and he said, there is a law which is very new. It's about family. I know it might be boring, but Mel, why don't you just teach it for here at the Ateneo for the first time? So I taught the subject for the first time at the Ateneo. And in the process, I came up with a book. I have 5 or 6 editions of that book already. From a 91-page book, it's now a 978-page book. So it progressed and it has been used by a number of law schools already.
The Bible of family law. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So continuous crossroads. And then when I said litigation and law practice is, I'm over with it.
Uh-huh.
So it's either retirement, and then here comes broadcasting. And I said, why not? Let's do it. So I'm here. So it's a continuous, and then it's a crossroad. I consider it getting yourself, fixing yourself, or creating opportunities for crossroads and choose. It's life. Wow. It makes life exciting.
Wow. Definitely exciting, coming from a point of view of a person who's about to choose something different from what the other people are so used to.
Yeah, yeah.
Diba? Parang
right.
Family law, tapos yes. Should I jump into this?
Right.
Into this new practice?
Right, exactly. And you know, when you go into broadcasting and to media, into mass communication,
it's different.
It's different. It opens you to a lot more things.
And who told you to get into broadcast?
You know, when I was asked, Ray Espinosa. Mm-hmm. Ray Espinosa was my classmate at the law school at the Ateneo.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen him for so many, many, many years since graduation.
Uh-huh.
And then so suddenly, he called me up and said, Mel, si Ray to. So, Ray, how are you? So, long time no see, no talk. Mel, we just acquired TB5, MVP, Manny Pangalinan, and I want to talk to you and I want to introduce you to Luchi Cruz Valdez. And at that time, it was election time.
Uh-huh.
And so, the Ateneo, where Lente is based,
yes.
an election watchdog NGO, decided to partner with TB5, and Luchi Cruz Valdez was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we partnered at that time. And so being at Lente, a member of that group then, I became the legal analyst for that national coverage. And after the national coverage, Luchi Cruz told me and texted me, said, Mel, just wait for my call or text, because I think I have something for you at TB5. So that started it all. So I began doing Relacion, a radio program where we welcome questions from listeners through text and phone calls about problems and questions about life, anything about life, anything about relationship. So we started that in November of 2010, actually.
And being the man, the go-to guy when it comes to family relations.
Right.
Naturally, ikaw yun.
Oh, well, you know, in a way, yes. I give the advice, so to speak, on legal matters. But Lucy Cruz Valdez gives advice on emotional and practical things. No, and also she asks me questions, and I answer, and we come up with, as a matter of fact, so many insights. Even today, from questions of people outside there, you know, get insight. So many things about life. That's it.
Tell us about your siblings.
My sister is now the ambassador of the Philippines in the Federal Republic of Germany.
She is
Melita Santa Maria Tomacek. Uh-huh. So she's now the ambassador of the Philippines to Germany.
Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my older brother was an engineer, but he died. Mm-hmm. He died at the age of 43.
Very young,
and my his name is Segundo Santa Maria. My brother, who is next to me, is Ireneo Santa Maria. He's the president of MGM Commodities, a food packing corporation.
Uh-huh.
And then my younger brother is connected with a realty corporation, Florencio Santa Maria, as a vice president for, realty. So these are my siblings and. And there you are.
Who are you closest to?
Well, I'd say I'm closest to my sister. No, my sister, because we...
The ambassador,
we talk all the time. But she's now in the Germany, so we don't talk too much. Mm-hmm. But you know, every sibling has different concerns. Uh-huh. Different concerns. So if I want to talk about realty, I talk to the youngest of my siblings. Uh-huh. And if I want to talk about business, I talk to my brother. So now, at this stage of my life, well, it's not utilitarian, but it's just the way it is. Problems come in, right? And if it's business, my younger brother. If it's up there, and if it's realty, it's my other brother. So... But we're okay, we're good, and no problem with us.
What are the days that you miss when you think about your yesteryears, when you were younger and you were still with your family, you weren't married yet? Ano yung mga naalala mo na, nakakamiss to?
Well, of course, the usual family gathering. No? The usual family gathering.
And it happens where, usually?
Usually in Christmas time. Easter Sunday. And and when my father comes home from abroad, we definitely sit every dinner, and we're together. That's a must. Uh-huh. So we talk about so many, many things. My father asked me questions and about life. Mm-hmm. How was your journey in life? Uh-huh. Something like that. And but it's now replaced by my own family. So, there was really nothing traumatic, no separation anxiety. It's just life. So that's what I missed. Uh-huh. But it's a good thing, because discussions then are very different from discussions now.
The way that you celebrate Christmas now, does it mirror the way you celebrated Christmas before?
Right. That's a point. No? It reflects. It's a continuity. No, it's a you have a very beautiful, nice experience as a kid, and you replicate those things now. And yes, we eat the usual Christmas traditions of eating midnight dinner.
Noche buena.
Mm-hmm. We do that also. Mm-hmm. We're just a normal family life. But now, I have a son who finished AB philosophy. His name is Joseph Santa Maria. He's also studying master's degree in philosophy at Ateneo, at the same time working at an NGO. Mm-hmm. And an NGO for that deals with the urban poor. My daughter just took up the November 2015 bar examinations. Mm. She's the one
She's a lawyer now.
Right. No, not yet. She's waiting for the results of the bar now. And my young daughter, Therese, is the journalist. She writes for Interaction. She wrote for Interaction for a while and then went to Inquirer, and now she's with Summit doing some magazine editing. So these are my three daughters. And they say, I usually tell my wife, look at our daughters. One is my, look at our children. One is a teacher. My oldest son, he taught philosophy. He's a teacher. My second daughter will become a lawyer. And my third is in media. So that's all me.
What about her?
My children looks like my wife. Luckily enough, fortunately.
Nakuha nila yung itsura, pero lahat nung skills, talent,
sa'yo nang mana. That's my joke.
Let's go back to Christmas. Yeah. So what would I see? What would people normally see in on your table?
We have spaghetti. We're just a simple family. Uh-huh. We have spaghetti. We have the usual jamon.
Jamon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we have the usual barbecue. We have barbecue we have fruits.
Pork barbecue.
Mm-hmm. And then we have fruits. Lots of fruits. Mm-hmm. And then fruit cakes. And then we drink wine, of course, during Christmas time. Especially now, my children are all of age, so we do drink wine every Christmas. Mm. And well, that's all about it. It's not a lavish dinner, but a simple, nice, delicious dinner. Uh-huh. So there you are.
Do you go to Simbang Gabi before you go to before you have your Noche Buena?
Normally, we go to an anticipated Mass for Christmas.
The day before.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the day before. Mm-hmm. And we participate. We participate in the Mass by me, for example, being the lecturer.
A lecturer. Akala ko ikaw yung...
Nagmimisa.
Hindi. Akala ko nasa Belen.
No. I lecture. Usually my son is the service or the altar boys, so called, and then my wife also lector, and making our participation in the midnight mass very much more meaningful, I should say.
And then you go, and then anticipated, so you spend your Noche Buena. Do you open your gifts midnight or the next day?
No, midnight after eating. That's the gift wrapping, opening of gifts. So people get excited. The usual getting excited. So
what's the best gift you've ever received? I mean, literally a gift.
I cannot pinpoint any gift which is the best, because I think every gift is the best. Mm-hmm. It's just very good. No? There was a time when the laptop was just coming into fad. No? I was given a laptop, so I was very happy.
Mm, by your wife.
Yes, and a cell phone. No? Not so sophisticated cell phone, but a relative modern one. So so it comes in with what is on today. So it's happy.
Let's take a short break.
Yes.
When we come back, I'll ask you about your wife.
All right.
And your... Well, you've talked about your kids already. Your wife. And your wife and maybe your best friends at this point in your life.
Yes.
This is Martin's Man Cave. We are with Dean Mel Santa Maria. This has been a great conversation. I work with Attorney Mel, and I've been, of course, for the last 4 years. Not really, 4 years behind. 2010.
Yeah, 4 years.
Oh, 2010. Six years.
6 years. 6 years.
And this conversation has been really revealing for me. Wala niyo akong naalaman na hindi you would normally not get in a. In a conversation at work. So don't go away. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Martin's Man Cave on podcast.ph. My name is Martin Andanar, and we are still with Attorney Mel Santa Maria.
the dean of the Institute of Law of the Far Eastern University. Yung tanong ko kanina, attorney, no? Because you've told us a story of your parents, your siblings, yeah, and your kids, no?
Right.
How about your wife?
Well, my wife is my best friend, my best critic. Her name is Amparita Ampi Santa Maria. She's the thesis director of the Ateneo School of Law, and she's the director of its graduate studies. And she is a human rights advocate. So she is connected with the Ateneo Human Rights Center.
Uh-huh.
And because of that advocacy, I sort of glided by osmosis also in that kind of a practice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you will remember, Martin, the issue on the Davide impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
So we were actually the ones who initiated filing a petition with the Supreme Court, mm-hmm, to stop that impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall, the People's Initiative case where the Ramos government decided to come up with a people's vote on whether to amend the Constitution, mm-hmm, we also tried to stop that before the Supreme Court. The executive privilege case, the one with NBNZTE deal, uh-huh, where we would want GMA to just reveal what they talked about in the cabinet, because we thought that it's something dubious and criminal. Mm-hmm. But we lost that case, executive privilege case. The Supreme Court said that's executive privilege.
Uh-huh.
We also advocated for that. So we filed so many significant cases before the Supreme Court together with the Ateneo Human Rights, and that's the line of my wife.
Uh-huh.
And so as I told my wife, as I deal with the financial matters in our life,
mm-hmm,
she deal with the social aspect of the life where I want also to get involved.
Uh-huh.
So that is our relationship. It's a very nice relationship. I'm so gifted, and I'm so privileged with that gift, mm-hmm, of my wife, because she gives a lot to me in terms of social awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the issue of gender sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is a gender law expert. No? She graduated from the University, mm-hmm, of Toronto. She took up her Master of Law, mm-hmm, in Gender Studies at the University of Toronto. And she had opportunity to work at the Canadian Institute of Human Rights, but said, no, I'd rather stay in the Philippines and work in the university, attached to a university, and at the Ateneo Human Rights Center. So she's also a dedicated academician.
How did you meet?
We met at the Ateneo. We usually go to an immersion, and I was connected to an office called Office of Social Concern and Involvement. This is the office which look for locations for students. Students go on immersion. For 1 week, they immersed with, let's say, the grassroots. So our office, deal with looking at places where students will go. And during one of those occasions, she was there. She went through an immersion, I think, in Nueva Vizcaya. And so during the times when we talked about the developments of each immersion group, I saw her, it's the rest is history, so to speak. So
the courtship.
So we had the same sort of line of thought.
Yeah.
In terms of social awareness.
The brain wave is just there.
The brain waves are just jibing in. So even when we were in college, we were already, even at that time, when Ninoy was still incarcerated, Ninoy Aquino, we were already wearing T-shirts of Ninoy.
Uh-huh.
And when martial law was in its heyday, and there were a lot of political prisoners, uh-huh, and there were so many students, especially at the Ateneo, who were imprisoned, who were put in stockage, we used to fetch them sa mga stockade noon. at in Bikutan. Uh-huh. We were the fetchers, my wife and I. So politically, we were quote unquote subversives at that time. So there you are. The People's Revolution, we were very active in 1986. So that was our line. And we enjoyed it very well until we took up law. And then, and the same spirit is still here. Especially now, I write for Interaction.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, I like to hit the government, not for the sake of hitting, but for the sake of conscience.
Uh-huh.
Like, for example, this no bio, no voto rule.
Mm-hmm.
We just heard that it was dismissed by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
But I said in my, let's say, my Facebook account and in an article which I will release maybe within this week, I said, how dare you deprive the taxpayers of its right to vote? Who are you? How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a... Well, it's a Supreme Court, but I always say, though I am a lawyer, even Supreme Court decisions are not immune from critical debate because they are also composed of fallible men and women who may commit mistakes, just like you and me. It's just that they are in that high position. And if our discipline is the same, discipline in law, well, yeah, they're good, but probably they might have missed out on certain things. So you come up with advocacies like that. Even if it was already turned down, you could still continue to persuade people it was such a wrong decision. So, and I'm happy about that. And my wife is happy about that. And what else? Especially now during election time, you know, I wrote an article saying, there is just no inspiring presidential candidate as of yet, as of the moment. And so let's look for their programs. What can they give us?
Mm-hmm.
So that it's such a nice thing to do because, in a sense, you are challenging them that, hey, you just have to pick up. There you are. So our relationship in terms of politics, in terms of world view, for example, just jived.
It's fascinating that you mentioned taxation, because when you go back to the history of the United States, when they had this war between the UK, the British,
yes,
and they said no taxation without representation,
right, yes, you know what, you know, when you say, for example, how dare you. Take away the most treasured right of a citizen who pays your salary through the taxes we give the government, uh-huh, and deprive of this right on a simple none or failure, mm-hmm, to comply with biometrics.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've always thought, Martin, as I've told you before, advancement in technology must enhance progress,
mm-hmm,
must enhance the exercise of rights,
mm-hmm,
not stop them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the reverse of what's happening now,
mm-hmm,
in biometrics. So it's a kind of advocacy which you give some, you know, ideas. It's a marketplace of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people would not want it. Sometimes you are in complete opposite, but, you know, you sell your point.
Mm-hmm.
And if people accept it, then that's good.
You mentioned about highs and lows and how you and your wife, you stuck it through.
Right.
What were the major lows of your life?
Well, I was attached to a law firm before. As usual, when you graduate, you apply to a law firm, and you have in a sense, some sense of security, because you lean on a law firm. You lean on an entity which gives you salary. But then it comes to a point you decide, I can do it on my own. And then you go into solo practice. And there, that is where our first challenge came in. Because when you go into solo practice as a lawyer, you start from the beginning. You look for clients. And so the expenses are just from your bank going out, not from clients coming in. So we had to persevere. It took me about 2-3 months to really stabilize my own law firm. And my wife was a government employee then. She was a lawyer with Justice Hugo Gutierrez. So in a sense, our salaries were meager. We were struggling, but we coped up. We coped, we stuck together. And until everything just came into place, and so we made it. So we made it until we made certain investments of what we've done. That was our first law, because financially, it was a financial law, because we were really scratching for money. Not really literally scratching, but it was just enough. In short, after each month, it's almost a depleted zero in our bank account. So that's what.
But everybody goes through that, right?
Yes,
that's young couples.
Young couples, so you have to pay mortgages, installments, but. You know, I guess that's part of life. Mm-hmm. But back then, when we were starting and getting into that new experience, it was really struggling how to learn to cope with it. Mm-hmm. So that was our first one.
Well, at least abogado yung dalawa.
Yes. At diba? Least pareho kami abogado. Yeah.
Iba pa rin yun. Kahit walang pera, basta may attorney na naman.
Totoo yan. Kahit papano. And I've na-experience ko rin yung ano eh. Yung ang bayad sa iyo yung mga isang manok. Basket na isda. Isda, hindi manok.
Prutas.
Prutas, isda, isang styrofoam na bangus. Oh, may ganun ako na. Well, what can you what else can you do but to accept, di ba? I've experienced those things.
You're very known in the family law area.
Yes.
And your practice in that law. Law, what do you call that area? Specialty.
Yes,
specialty.
Correct,
yeah. Are you still as active as you were in lawyering now?
Well, I am not actively practicing right now, but you know the substitute is great, which is mass communication. And when we talk about relacion, for example, that 2-hour program. Where I give advice to family law questions and even labor law questions and even questions in land titles. It's such a different dimension. You talk on radio and it's literally mass communication. People listening to you with similar problems, you solve. Unlike when you're face-to-face with one client, you solve his problem. But when you speak on radio, who knows how many problems you've solved? How many
nationwide?
Right, nationwide and maybe worldwide. So, so it's such a pleasure doing it. So,
how about the monetary consideration? Of course, if you practice it and if you defend a client, then
right, yes,
then you make more money naturally. Right, and so there's a lot of sacrifice in your end.
But there comes a point in life where you say. Look, what do you exchange for not practicing anymore? The exchange is your mental sanity, your health. You don't go to courts and every day is filled up with tension, preparing for pleadings, preparing clients, solving other people's problem, actively in court, and the tension, the pressure is just so high. So I said. That area of my life is finished. We may not earn so much income, but look at the kapalit. The kapalit is more peace of mind.
This is your giving back.
Yes, more time with family. And you know, as they say, when one door closes, another door opens up. And this is my other door, broadcasting. And it's a pleasure doing it. I like what I'm doing. It's not really that practice filled with pressure, di ba? You just talk and you even solve problems also.
But you still accept
work? Consultations
only.
I accept if it's an international arbitration thing, I do it also. Because remember, I also had a book on obligation and contracts, texts and cases. So now, because contracts can be between a foreign entity and a 2 foreign entities doing business in the Philippines, if they have conflict, pupunta sila sa Singapore or sa Hong Kong, they litigate, they need a Philippine law expert in contract law, they usually take me in. So I go there, and that also is a good income generating activity. So that's good. And so when I came to that point, and when I looked at my investment, and I told my wife, hindi naman tayo magpapayaman, hindi naman tayo magpapamilyonaryo. So everything else is in place, and I'm lucky. All the college education of my children are all free. They all studied at the Ateneo, and because we're teaching at the Ateneo, free. So that's good. Hmm. And sabi ko, so I'll take it easy. And kasi nga, anday ko na rin nararamdaman, Martin, high uric acid, high blood pressure, you know, aching bones. So there you are. So you have to really relax, get yourself fit for your family.
And getting that sotanghon every Sunday.
That sotanghon, my favorite sotanghon breakfast every Sunday. Well,
saan ba yun? Saan ba yung sotanghon?
Sa Centris. Yung malapit sa landmark sa Quezon City going to Caloocan.
So do you ever think of just copying the ingredients of the sotanghon, or maybe attempting to copy that, or you've just given it to Aling
Aling Norma,
Aling
Tita
Norma.
Norms.
So Tita Norms.
Well, mas mabuti nang kinakain ko na lang.
Sometimes you reach a point in your life where you just accept that the way it is now.
Oh.
Well, that's her alley. Yes. Sa kanya na yun.
Totoo yun. As a matter of fact, in broadcasting, like in broadcasting, I am zero in broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was starting out, people will tell me, especially the producer and the director, and I thought I have so many things in mind which I think I can do better. Mm-hmm. But they will tell me, no, it's like this. You just have to trust them. Uh-huh. This is an area where broadcasting and mass media, where you really have to trust the experts.
Mm-hmm.
No, attorney, just say this, say that, say this, look here, look there. You just have to trust them and you're good.
Mm-hmm.
You're good. And you're good, Jan. So, especially if you remember, Martin, I am very thankful TB5 gave me the opportunity to interview the president.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The president.
Yes.
For a long time, the president was not giving an interview one-on-one on a very serious note. It was the first time in August of 13, 2014. That's a remarkable day for me. When I was given that privilege to interview the president. And I thought then, wow, what an experience. And then, and especially the very next day, the interview made headlines in just all broadsheets. And
everybody picked it up.
Everybody picked it up. TB5 News was the source of news.
Yes.
For all stations and broadsheets. So we were being quoted. And that one-liner really stuck with me. I just asked the president, sarado po ba kayo sa pag-aamyenda ng konstitusyon? And then that remarkable reply, he said, nalaman nung araw, sarado ko. Pero ngayon, nag-iisip na ako. That will be headline. And then he talked about term limits that, you know, probably I might want to be the expert. So there you are, sabi ko. And in my mind, wow, this will be in the headlines tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And true enough, there were headlines.
It became headlines.
So I thought, that was it. That was the, I don't know if just the, if that's the peak, the zenith of my broadcasting life. But, you know, it's so nice. You know what happened there? Yung mga ibang journalists like Raisa Robles, no, began texting me and like other journalists and saying, one journalist told me, alam mo, attorney, you steered the nation to panic. You scooped us all. And I go, well, he scooped me. I didn't know that will be his reply. So the judicial overreach, if you remember that, Supreme Court overreach,
yes,
the amendment to the Constitution, the term limits, that all came out from that interview, mm-hmm. that small interview that gave a lot of issues.
So, it lasted for about 10 days.
Right,
everybody
10 days.
Talked about it. You know?
Yes, everybody was talking. I was still looking at it in the newspaper, and I said, gosh, made an impact. I was so happy then. So that was a good experience.
We're about to wrap up this interview. At the end of the road, Attorney Mel, who are the five people that you will say thank you?
Well, of course, my parents, my father and my mother. Sincerely, I will say that if not for them, I would not have been in this place. Because they taught me discipline, and they taught me discipline, and they taught me how to do the hard work. In a way, being independent, they were responsible. Because as you know, my father was always out of the country, and my mother was working. My mother was doing, was disciplining us alone. And yet, I could see the relationship between husband and wife, father and mother, for all of us. And it created an impact in my mind. It still is impacting me right now. So I do what they did to my children. That's my father and my mother. Of course, my wife. You know, my wife, Amparita Santa Maria Ampi, without any hesitation, I'd say she changed me a lot. She changed me a lot in terms of perspective. Normally, I was so impetuous and I was so presumptuous, but now, you know, you get to deliberate things more and see, okay, before I speak, I bite my lips and say, okay, let's look around first and then make a judgment. She made me do that. And the next, of course, are the people around me. They are numberless. But and then my children also. I am dedicated to my children as they are dedicated to me. You know, my diet, for example, now, they will always say, Dad, don't eat that. That's against your diet. And, you know, I always obey them. Just so these are the people who have touched my life, and who have been shaping me even now of what I will be still. No? I think I'm still in my formative stage. I don't know, but I still feel still there's something yet there to
the Renaissance, man.
Right? The conqueror. No, we don't know. I thought my professional productive life was over when I reached the age of 54 or 55. But when I came to TB5, life was just beginning. So it gave me a lot of opportunities. Uh-huh. Made me a writer, a commentator, a columnist, mm-hmm. and
just the whole brain.
Yes, the whole brain. And you know the for example, I'm sure you've experienced this, Martin. You know, cabinet secretaries calling you, candidates calling mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. things like that, mm-hmm. and you feel empowered, and yet you must stay humble. Mm-hmm. Diba? You feel empowered, and yet you must stay very, very humble.
Lastly, what is your dream for the Filipino?
You know, I always want the country to succeed. Always. That was my that's the reason why I write articles, I go to broadcasting and, you know, be forceful on government, because that's maybe on that general note, I want the Philippines really to succeed. That's why from for example, from Manny Pacquiao or from Fort Impact. In England, I don't know if you know those girls.
Yes, yes, yes.
Fort Impact. Mm-hmm. I like to see them, and I like to see their success, and, you know, and because they represent the Philippines. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I can hope for the Philippines to succeed. Nothing else.
Thank you so much for your time, Dean Mel Santa Maria. We have a lot of things to talk about, but we only have actually 30 minutes for the program, we've been talking for the last 49 minutes. Let's play your song. What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. So what makes this song a favorite song of yours?
Because it's a social impact song. You listen to the lyrics and it's questioning all the time. What's going on around us? Do we care? That's the point of that song.
Let's play the song, What's Going On. This has been the program, Martin's Man Cave, with attorney Mel Santa Maria. Please do watch us on YouTube. It's for free. You can also watch us on Facebook. You can download the audio version of this podcast on iTunes, and you can also go to Podomatic or Spreaker, or just go to our website, www.podcast.ph. Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4... This podcast.ph presentation is supported by Martin Andanar's Homecast Studio and Audio.ph.